نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد. Most respected and beloved Mu'takifin and all the people that are listening to this program, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. There were 8 verses from Surah Luqman that have been recited. This chapter is called the chapter of Luqman because Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala refers to the advices that Luqman has given. Who is Hakim Luqman? And who is this great personality that once walked on the face of this earth? Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma states that Hakim Luqman was from Abyssinia, or what we would say present day Ethiopia. And by trade, he was a carpenter. According to another Mufassir, commentator of the Quran, Muqatil, he says that Hakim Luqman, he lived until the time of Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam, another great prophet of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Another commentator of the Quran, Wahab ibn Munabbih, he says that Hakim Luqman was the nephew of another Nabi of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, Hazrat Ayyub alayhi salatu wa salam. Another great illustrious Nabi of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Hazrat Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he describes Hakim Luqman, who he was, how he looked. He says Hakim Luqman was a dark-skinned person, what we would term as our local African brothers. His lips were thick, he was short in height, and his heels were cracked. One person, a dark-skinned person, he came to Sa'id ibn Musayyib rahmatullah alayhi. Came to ask him for some work, some question. And Sa'id ibn Musayyib rahmatullah alayhi observed that this dark-skinned person has no confidence in him. It's like suffering an inferiority complex. Regarding other people senior, he is like nothing. So in order to boost the confidence of this dark-skinned person, Sayyid ibn Musayyib rahmatullah alayhi said that you people, the nation, the dark-skinned nation, you should not feel inferior. You should not feel low and down about anything. There are 3 dark-skinned people in Islam for who we as Muslims feel very, very proud. One is Hakim Luqman. Dark-skinned person, but in Islam, we look at the value in the individual. We don't look at the color. We don't look at the caste. We don't look at the creed of the individual. In Islam, we transcend all boundaries. It is what is inside the person. The iman that is in a person. The character that's in a person. The conduct that is in a person. Inna akramakum inda Allahi atqakum. The most honorable in the sight of Allah is that person who's got the greatest amount of taqwa. There can be one person who outwardly may look very, very good, but is void of iman. And then there may be another person. Outwardly he may not look good, but he's got iman. We don't look at the facial situation of the person. We look at what's inside the heart of the individual and we value that. Sayyid ibn Musayyib then told a person, the second person we as the ummah we feel very proud about is Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The muazzin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He made the greatest amount of sacrifices for Islam. And he was with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thick and thin. In Makkatul Mukarramah he was with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Madinatul Munawwara he was with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Such a great personality, we feel very proud in spite of the color of his skin. And the third person was Mahja. He was the freed slave of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He was a very, very learned, very, very educated person. So Sayyid ibn Musayyib rahmatullah alayhi told him that there's no reason for you to feel inferior. In Islam, we don't look at color, we don't look at caste, we don't look at creed. There's no such thing as discrimination. Innama al-mu'minuna ikhwa. We all are mu'mineen, we've got iman, and we share just one thing in common. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, no one worthy of worship but Allah, and Muhammad is the Rasul of Allah. Somebody, in Tafsir ibn Kathir, it is mentioned, somebody asked Hakim Luqman, that Almighty Allah has given you a choice. You could be a prophet of Allah. Why did you choose become a Hakim? You could have been a prophet of Allah. And we know the prophet of Allah are greater people than just Hakims. Than just being a wise person. It was his wisdom that he gave this answer, and he said that Allah gave me a choice. If I would have adopted to be a prophet of Allah, then the responsibility would have been put onto my head because I chose that position. So I decided not to adopt that position where the responsibility would be on my head, and I adopt such a position that Allah have chosen for me so that Allah's madad and nusrat could come with me. Hakim Luqman, at one time in his life, he was a shepherd. Grazing sheep. Can we imagine? One person in the open fields with the animals under the sun grazing the sheep. What his face might be like, what his attire might be like, we probably would give him no value. But look at the value Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has given a shepherd. Thousands of years ago, a simple person, dark skinned person, but Allah tabarak wa ta'ala liked something about him. And Allah makes him part of the Quran al-Kareem, where the ummah reads about this great personality and we feel proud about him. Somebody asked Hakim Luqman, he was a shepherd. One day he was sitting and he was presenting a discourse. Thousands of people are around him. They're benefiting from his discourses. So a fellow shepherd happened to pass by. And he looks, who is this person that is commanding so much of respect? So many people are benefiting from him. Who could this person be? When he looks close by, he says, that's the same person that used to graze sheep with. After the discourse, that shepherd went and met Hakim Luqman and asked him, how you got this position? How did you achieve this position? Hakim Luqman mentioned, there's just two things I've done in my life. One, Sidqul Qalam. Always truthful on my tongue. And second thing, tark ma la ya'ni. Those things that were not of concern to me, didn't bother me, was not my business, I never involved myself in that. These are the two things that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has given that respect, that honor to Hakim Luqman. We would do the translation of these eight verses, and then I wanted to focus on two issues from the advisors of Hakim Luqman. Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةِ. Most definitely, we have given Luqman hikmat, wisdom. أَنِشْكُرْ لِلَّهِ. That wisdom has been given to him so that he could be inspired to make the shukr of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ يَشْكُرْ. And that person who is grateful for the bounty, the ni'mat that Allah has bestowed upon him, فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ. So, such a person who is grateful to Allah for His bounties and ni'mats and favors upon him, he is only grateful for his own benefit. Look at the bounty that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has put upon us. Our very existence was chosen by Allah. Look at the eyes Allah has given us. What price can you attach to that? Look at the ears Allah has given us. What price can we attach to that? Look at the hands and feet Allah has given us. Look at our heart that is pumping blood. All the time we are sleeping but the heart is functioning. These are great bounties of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So Allah says, "Waman kafar," and that person that is ungrateful, you cannot see the bounties of Allah. You don't appreciate the bounties of Allah. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ. Most definitely Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is independent. Allah doesn't need our praises. Allah is as He is. We need to praise Allah. Allah doesn't need to be praised. Because why? حَمِيدٌ. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala Himself is worthy of praise. وَإِذْ قَالَ لُقْمَانُ لِبْنِهِ. And remember, when Luqman advised his told to his son, وَهُوَ يَعِذُهُ, whilst he was advising his son, يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ. Oh my son, the greatest thing that you can do in your life, Allah alone created you. There was no partner with Allah when Allah created you. He is one and alone. He is mighty. He is great. He is magnificent. Don't never make shirk with Allah. Allah is one and alone. Recognize the oneness of Allah. He is most powerful. And that is what Iman is all about. That you believe that Allah is one and alone, you attach yourself to that one Allah. And you believe in the might of Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. You value Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Inna shirka la zulmun azim. To make partners with Allah, like how the Christians do, like how the Jews do, how others do, indeed, that is a very great oppression. It is oppression. But that oppression doesn't hurt Allah, it hurts us. وَوَصَيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ. And we have advised mankind to be favorable to their parents. And from among the parents, the mother deserves greater respect. حَمَلَتُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنًا عَلَى وَهْنٍ وَفِصَالُهُ فِي عَامَيْنِ. The mothers carried the child with difficulty upon difficulty. And after giving birth, the weaning period of the breastfeeding period is over a period of 2 years. So much of difficulty the mother undergoes to look after the child. And then the advice that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has given mankind is, anishkur li wali walidayk. Be grateful to me because I am the one that created you. And I made the parents the means of your existence in the world, so be grateful to your parents as well. Islam teaches the basic things. Believe in the oneness of Allah. Be good to your parents. Be good to your father. Be good to your mother. إِلَيَّ الْمَصِيرُ. Finally, towards me is your return. Allah reminds us of life after death. Reminds us of hisab and accountability. You're going to be ungrateful to Allah, you're going to turn. You're going to die one day, you're going to return to me, you'll have to give account for your ungratefulness. Yes, of course, whilst we have to be good to our parents, but وَإِنْ جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَنْ تُشْرِكَ بِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا. At times when parents are non-Muslims, we love our fathers, we love our mothers. It is natural love. Allah put that love inside the heart of the person. But if the very same mother that we love, the father that we love, or any family person that we love, if I have become a Muslim, I have adopted Iman, there's no reason for us now not to be good to them, but at the same time, we have to draw the line. There's Iman and there's Kufr. So we look after our Iman, and we stick to the principles of Iman. So Allah says, وَإِن جَاهَدَاكَ. If your mother and your father, both of them who are in kufr and shirk, If they exert you, if they put pressure on you, that you make shirk with me, sometimes in our terms they will say, you must follow Christianity, you must follow Judaism, you must follow this religion and that religion beside Islam. They put the pressure onto you that you must make shirk with me for that in which they have no knowledge. Fala tuti'uma. Don't obey them. We will, in this, in a matter of aqidah, in a matter of faith, in a matter of principle, we know from our natural instinct that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is one and alone. And this iman, it's such a great grace of Allah upon us that we know that we just have one very powerful being that we have to attach ourselves to. We don't have to attach ourselves to two or three or four people, only one being. And that is the most powerful and the greatest being. We attach ourselves only to Allah. If parents put pressure on you to leave your Islam and to follow Christianity, don't obey them. وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. But because of your difference of religion, because you are a Muslim and they are Christians, or they are of any other religion, it doesn't mean now you must break ties with them. On one side is your religion, but on the other side is your family. You look after your religion, at the same time you maintain good ties with your family. وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. And live with both them, with both of them in this world with harmony. And it all depends, as a Muslim, how you conduct yourself with a non-Muslim family. If you show your good akhlaq, your character, your conduct, and you tell them that this is the teachings of Islam. There was one youngster, once I went to Europe, from Germany, he came to meet me. His name is Ibrahim. He was a non-Muslim. He accepted Islam. When he was a non-Muslim, he never showed respect to his mother. After he accepted Islam, and he heard what Islam told about looking at respecting mothers, he started serving his mother in such a way that the mother was shocked and surprised. What changed you? What came into your heart and your mind? He told his mother, I'm a Muslim, this is what Islam teaches me. If this is what your religion teaches you about showing respect to me, she said, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. This is what Islam teaches us. وَاتَّبِعِ السَّبِيلَ مَنْ أَنَابَ إِلَيْهِ. But in the field of spirituality, you want to become good, you want to refine yourself, you want to become a better Muslim. Sometimes you can't do it by yourself. In the field of business, sometimes you do local manufacturing, but you can't do it, you have to import to produce, to present in the market. Likewise, in the field of ruhaniyat and spirituality, you also need to import from someone else. وَاتَّبِعُ السَّبِيلَ مَنْ أَنَابَ إِلَيْهِ. And follow the path of those people that turn towards me. See what they doing. Sit in the gatherings. Understand their thinking, understand their mindset. And from there, the color of those pious people will also come into you. ثُمَّ إِلَيَّ مَرْجِعُكُمْ فَأُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. Then again Allah tabarak wa ta'ala reminds us that where are we traveling to? We are just traveling. Like a transit lounge. That's not our end journey. We have to take the plane to go our final destination. Then towards me is your return. And when you come to me, I will inform you of all those things that you should do in this world. We need to be very careful what we do in the world. Nothing is going to be hidden. Everything will be opened up on the day of Qiyamah. Before we do anything, we need to scrutinize. يَا بُنَيَّ إِنَّهَا إِن تَكُ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِّنْ خَرْدَلٍ فَتَكُنْ فِي صَقْرَةٍ أَوْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ أَوْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يَأْتِ بِهَا اللَّهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَطِيفٌ خَبِيرٌ. Oh my son, if you have done any act equivalent to a mustard seed, and that act is in a rock, locked up in a rock, or it is scattered anywhere in the sky or in the earth, whatever good deed you have done, يَأْتِ بِهَا اللَّهُ. Allah will bring it on the day of Qiyamah. Nothing, there's no active good act or bad act that you have done that is just done and it is finished and is forgotten about. It's going to become before us on the day of Qiyamah. Allah will bring it out. That act can be done in complete concealment, to the extent that if hypothetically you have to lock yourself in a rock, or we have to lock ourselves in our palatial homes where nobody in the outside world will know what we are doing inside, or you have to do it in public life, everything will come out on the day of Qiyamah. Inna Allah latifun khabir. Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is intricate in knowing everything, and Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is all knowing. Ya bunayya aqimis sala wa'mur bil ma'ruf wanha 'anil munkar. Oh my son, establish salah. Hakim Luqman is telling this to his son thousands of years ago. Somewhere in the African continent, he's advising him and telling him that aqimis salah. Be a sincere servant to Allah. Allah created you. He created you to worship. He didn't create us just to eat and drink and work. These are all subsidiary issues of life. The most important thing is how we worship Allah. Allah created us. We recognize the greatness and the grandeur, majesty of Allah. We submit to Allah. وَأْمُرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنْهَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. And always order people to do good. We don't lead a life only by ourselves. We see the things that are happening around us. Sometimes if something we need to tell the people to do good, and we see something that is wrong, then yes, of course, with hikmat, wisdom and diplomacy, we need to stop it as well. And, you know, doing the amar bil maruf nahi and munkar, people are very sensitive. You tell somebody something, then the person immediately reacts. It's human nature. Wasbir ala ma asabak. And be patient on that which afflicts you in the cause of reforming the community and society. Inna zalika min azmil umur. And to exercise restraint, that is from among the courageous issues. You need a lot of courage. You need internal strength. The strength of the heart for you to overlook, tolerate, and not to react on situations. Finally, in the last two verses, Hakim, Allah speaks about how Hakim Luqman told his son about character, about conduct. وَلَا تُصَعِرْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ. Never turn away your cheek from the people. Somebody wants to come talk to you, talk to the person. It's very easy for us to show our face to somebody that we like. But the challenge is for us to show our face to those people that we don't like. We don't turn our face away. Sometimes you have differences with someone. You don't like to talk to him. You dislike him from your heart. Now it is to contain our feelings inside and still face him with a broad smile. Give him that smile. Although you got the pain in your heart, give him that smile. Allah grant us tawfiq and hidayah to understand all this. All these ayats are easier read, easier translated than done and practiced. The challenge is to bring it into, to internalize it and to bring it into practice. وَلَا تَمْشِ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحَا. Sometimes Allah tabarak wa ta'ala bless somebody with wealth, Allah bless somebody with position, you've got this degree, you've got this bank balance. You feel very proud about yourself. But remember, always think that you are the slave of Allah. Allah is great and mighty. لَا تَمْشِ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحَا. Never walk on earth with pride. Inna Allah la yuhibbu kulla mukhtalin fakhur. Most definitely, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala does not like every proud and every arrogant person. And one is that from your heart. You must be humble. Even in your outward conduct, you must be humble. Waqsid fi mashik. Be moderate in your walk. And being moderate in your walk, don't have a haughty walk. And besides that, don't walk very fast. Don't also walk very slow to draw attention of people. Walk a normal walk. A moderate walk. Waqdud min sawtik. And when you're talking to people, then lower your voice. Have a moderate voice. Don't shout and scream at people. Inna ankara al-aswat la sawtul hamir. Most definitely, the most abhorred, disliked sounds is the sound of a braying donkey. These are the advisors that Hakim Luqman has given to his son. What beautiful advisors. From these advisors, I just want to point out two issues. The first one is related to our daily lives, hikmat, wisdom, diplomacy. Allah has given this hikmat to Hakim Luqman. What is hikmat? What is wisdom? There's so many definitions on wisdom. But one very comprehensive definition of wisdom, which I personally like, is to say or to do the right thing, the right time. It's very easy to say, very easy to say this, but the challenge is in implementing it. To say or to do the right thing, the right time. Sometimes you want to say the right thing, it's the wrong time. Sometimes you want to do the right thing, but again, it's the wrong time. Yes, of course, we can't say the wrong thing or practice the wrong thing at any time. But to say the right thing or practice the right thing at the right time, that is actually wisdom. And that judgment is given by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala tells in the Quran al-Kareem, وَمَنْ يُؤْتَى الْحِكْمَةَ فَقَدْ أُوْتِيَ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. That Almighty, that person whom Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala blessed with hikmat, with wisdom, indeed Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has given him abundant. If you got wisdom, but you don't have anything else, you've got everything. But you've got everything, you've got the wealth and you've got the riches of the world, but you don't have that wisdom, or according to, if you put in another crude word, a stupid person, then you really don't have anything. Hikmat is something that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has given, and it enhances the quality of the life of an individual. Where do you get this hikmat from? Where do you get this wisdom from? How does it come in an individual? One, it is divine. Like how Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gave it to Hakim Luqman. It comes from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's side. But another way of getting it, one is that you read books. And the various sources of information. Wisdom doesn't just come from that. That is just information. Wisdom is something that it's just a natural instinct that is from within yourself, bestowed by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And that comes through experiences of life. The best teacher of in life is not the source of education, it is life itself. Many of us have gone through madrasas, colleges, universities. But when we went through the machinery of life, life taught us those things that we never learnt in our books. Life itself is the best teacher. And that is why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have mentioned two things. لا حكيم إلا ذو تجربة ولا حليم إلا ذو عسرة. A person cannot become a hakim. A person cannot become a wise person until he don't have tajraba, experience of life. It is through the various experiences of life. You go through life. You go through the happy moments of life. You go through the challenging moment of life. And through every stage of life, this your brain keeps on opening up until you become that wise person. That's what it is, tajraba, it is experience that comes into a person. And every person's experience is different. A person as a doctor, his experience will be different. A person as a politician, his experience will be different. A person that's in the field of education, his experience will be different. And as he goes on in life, he becomes more and more matured in that. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has given the people in the past, some of the great ulama, has given them such wisdom that is beyond our thinking and comprehension. Very quick in the thinking, that wisdom and the diplomacy that has given to them. Let me share with you a few incidents. That wisdom that comes in a person, it comes with life and how to act, how to react to a particular situation. Hadha Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, great sahabi of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was the governor of Sham. And he mentioned that if anybody wants to learn politics and how to maneuver things, then you cannot be successful in politics without studying the life of Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu and how he governed Sham, how he governed Syria. He was a great, amazing person. The plannings and how he used to run the government. An absolutely successful politician and a governor, sahabi of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One day, the doorkeeper came to Muawiyah and told to Muawiyah, your brother is waiting for you by the door. The one person came and he told to a doorkeeper, go inside, tell Muawiyah his brother is waiting for him. His brother wants to see him. So Muawiyah was surprised. My brother, describe him. They described him. And Muawiyah radiallahu anhu just could not paint his picture, the picture of his brother in his mind. Who this person could be? Is he really my brother? Send him in. When that person came in front of Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala, no, Hazrat Muawiyah told him, Assalamu alaikum, my brother. He wasn't the brother of Hazrat Muawiyah. He's a normal person. But he used it as an intelligent plan to meet Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala. So he told, Hazrat Muawiyah told him first, Assalamu alaikum, brother. So the person replied, yes, Muawiyah, I am your brother because we are the children of Adam and Hawa. So, as he was going away, he told the doorkeeper, the person in charge, give him 1 dirham. When 1 dirham was given to that person, he turned around to Hazrat Muawiyah, I am your brother, you give me only 1 dirham. I am your brother, you give me only 1 dirham. Look at Hazrat Muawiyah's wise reply. He said, if I have to give all my brothers of that are brothers from Adam and Hawa, if I have to give them also money, like I'm you probably will not even get 1 dirham. This is wisdom, how you respond, how you react to a particular situation. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, he was known for his wisdom. Allah blessed him with such intellect. On one occasion, there was a great muhaddith of the time, A'mash. He had a dispute with his wife. For whatever reason, probably the wife was very demanding. So he got angry with his wife and he told his wife, if you have to ever ask me in any way, verbal or in writing, for flour in the house, or for anything in the house, especially the flour in the house, then you are divorced. This was a conditional divorce. Which means, if the flour is running short in the house, she can't ask her husband, she can't even write. And if she asks, the marriage is ending. The marriage will end. What to do? The flour is finished. How am I going to make roti? What am I going to do in the house? How are we going to survive? She went and consulted Imam Abu Hanifa. Now when we apply our mind on that, how do we do it? Very difficult. The marriage will just have to end. So she consulted with Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. Imam Abu Hanifa told her very simple. The flour bag, when the flour is empty, so you mustn't tell your husband Amash, neither verbally or in writing, the flour is empty. Take the flour bag and go tie it up with his trousers. When he wakes up in the morning, then he will see that the flour bag is tied up to his trousers. So you didn't speak about it, you didn't write about it, and you will immediately, he'll get the message that you want flour. So she did just that. When Amash noticed this trick of his wife, he told to himself, she must have consulted Imam Abu Hanifa. This was the great intellect that Allah tabaraka ta'ala blessed Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. Once there was a dispute between Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullah alayh and his wife. Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullah alayh was one of the most leading students of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, and he was known to be the first qazi, first judge in Islam according to Hanafi madhab. So he told his wife, If you don't talk to me the whole evening, then divorce to you. And she, for some reason, wanted to come out of the marriage. Now, Imam Abu Yusuf regretted. She's not going to talk to me. My marriage is going to end. And then I have to face, the consequences of that. Somehow, he tried to get around her, talking to her, in our words, patawing her, everything to talk to her. But she wouldn't just submit. She wouldn't cooperate. Imam Yusuf got worried, middle of the night. This is a Fajr time, till Fajr, if she's not going to talk to me, that's the end of our marriage. Out of concern, he goes to Imam Abu Hanifa. And he told Imam Abu Hanifa what his predicament is. Imam Abu Hanifa told him very simple. Go get a new set of clothing. The best clothing you could ever get. Get that. Imam Hanifa had a new shawl. Very expensive shawl. To wear that as well. Take the most attractive fragrance. Apply that upon yourself. And they said, go home now. His wife was waiting. She was angry. She was upset. Now a woman's nature, feminine nature. Sometimes she can't control herself. She can't exercise restraint. Even when she saw Imam Abu Yusuf came wearing a new set of clothing. We are fighting. We are disputing. And here, look at him. His outward appearance. He's wearing the best of clothing. He's wearing a new shawl with fragrance. The moment he entered the house, he said, oh, so you went to the house of that other woman. Imam Abu Yusuf was very happy she spoke. The marriage was saved. This was this intellect that Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has given. One occasion, somebody in the neighborhood of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayh, the peacock was stolen. Somebody stole the peacock. So a person quietly came and told Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayh that somebody stole my peacock. Imam Abu Hanifa didn't tell anybody anything. But he had an idea who probably that person would be. Fajr time, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayh came for the salah. And he observed that person, a particular person that he suspect was there. He stood up and he said, what's wrong with you people? You'll steal peacocks and the feather is showing right on your head? The person quickly put his hand on his head. Imam Abu Hanifa, he was apprehended. He also admitted that he had stolen the peacock. See, for all these things, we also face conditions in life, halat in life. Sometimes it could be simple things. One person went to one Naat and Nazam show. Naat and Nazam show. And you know, in these kind of shows, some people, they get hal. They get like, you know, on a particular, on a high. So while the ashar, poetry was said, so whilst everybody were on a high, there was one person, he started jumping up and down. And they thought, there's something wrong with this person. He's jumping, he's going up and down. How to control him? Is it because of the effect of this poetry, or is it a medical problem? They didn't know what to do with him. So many people tried to calm him down, and he just kept on jumping up and down, interrupting the entire program. One person went to him and told him something in the ears. The person sat down. Somebody asked him that, you know, we tried so hard to control this person. Probably there may have been doctors there that probably want to give him a tablet, but he kept on jumping up and down. What is that you told that person that the person sat down? And when I told him quietly in the ears, what you jumping so much up and down? Your trousers is torn. This person sat down immediately. Speak about wisdom, diplomacy. One person, he came to Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi rahmatullahi alayh. He was walking to Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi rahmatullahi alayh. He was walking, taking one step at a time. Probably from the beginning of the masjid till here, you probably will have to take about hundreds of steps. And walking like how? Like he's a piece of glass. And he came to tell Maulana, that, you know, me, I walk like this because I'm made out of glass. It's a mental condition. I'm made out of glass. So, Maulana understood. Obviously, you can see a person that's made from flesh and blood. Made from bone and skin. So, how can he be made of glass? Maulana understood that this person got a mental problem. It's in his mind. In mind over matter. So, Maulana told him, yeah, no problem. We'll take the glass out of your body. The Maulana told few people beforehand, the small room, go fill it up with bottles. Fill it up with bottles. And then they told, take this person inside the room and take all those bottles. Somebody must do like they're tapping him. Tapping him, take one bottle and they just touch him. But while touching him with the empty bottle, take the other bottle and hit it on the wall around. And let him hear that all the bottles are breaking. And they did that for about few minutes. Many bottles were bust and broken. And this person, while she being hit, he was thinking that all the bottle from him is coming out. No sooner that happened, He started walking from, came out from there completely normal. This is called hikmat, it is wisdom, it is diplomacy, that Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has blessed people. So Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says in the Quran Kareem, وَمَنْ يُؤْتَ الْحِكْمَةِ فَقَدْ أُوْتِيَ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. I wanted to touch on another part, وَاتَّبِعْ سَبِيلَ مَنْ أَنَابَ إِلَيْهِ, and probably we'll leave this for another session. But just in conclusion, I want to mention to you another one incident of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayh. Imam Abu Hanifa was a very profound personality, but he also became a victim of hasad and jealousy. There were many people that were very jealous for what Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala had bestowed him with. So they decided they should hatch a plan and they should put some kind of accusation and put Imam Hanifa in an embarrassing situation. One day at night, he was walking home. One woman in complete parda approached him. She started crying and saying, I've got a serious problem at home. You have to come to my house, you have to attend to a problem, otherwise I'll be faced with much difficulty and hardships. Imam Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi heard her and he wanted to help and assist her, so he goes to the house. But to his surprise and amazement, when he goes to the house, there was nobody in the house, that woman locked the door. Now it was only Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi and that woman. His enemies were well aware of the plan. They immediately got hold of the authorities. They went to the house and they found Imam Abu Hanifa alone with a woman. They arrested him. Such a great person, such a great alim, you alone with that woman? How can you be here with this woman? Imam Abu Hanifa and the woman both were arrested. They were in one cell in one prison. The moment they went in prison, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah had the khawf of Allah, fear for Allah. Immediately made wudu and he started engaging in ibadat. That woman noticed that this is this great personality, Imam Abu Hanifa. How could I be a part, a plot of making such an accusation against him? She then told to Imam Abu Hanifa and said, look, this is what has actually happened. I was put up by some people to put you in an embarrassing situation. Imam Hanifa rahmatullah used his wisdom, his hikmat at that time. He didn't get emotional, but he applied. You know, when Allah gives aqal to someone, you use your aqal. You don't use your emotion. Two things Allah Ta'ala has created. One is the brain, the head, and one is the heart. You see, the head is always above the heart. In challenging situations, also you make decisions in that proportion. Let your rationale prevail over your emotion. The moment your emotion gonna prevail over your rationale, you're gonna make a big mess up. You can calculate things with your brains, but you can't calculate things with your emotion. So, Imam Hanifa rahmatullah told that woman, it's fine. You see the gatekeeper, the ward. You go to that person and tell him that there was a concession at that time, if a woman is in prison, that if there was a need for her to go home for something, she could go and she could return. It was a regulated law. So go to that person and tell him that you need to go home. But he advised, when you go, go directly to my wife and you must tell my wife what had happened. So, she goes to the prison, the doorkeeper, the guard. He gave concession, she went away. She goes to the house of Imam Abu Hanifa and she told Imam Abu Hanifa's wife what has transpired. Imam Abu Hanifa's wife said, fine, give me your outer garment, your hijab, your parda, and everything, give it to me. She wore it. She said, you go home. And now she, from home, Imam Hanifa's wife, she came to the prison door and the guard let her in. She came back in the prison. The following morning, big court case is coming up. All the enemies of Imam Hanifa rahmatullah are waiting to see the final fall of this great Imam. He's caught out. What did he present to people knowledge? What is he presenting to people that he's a pious person? Today the reality of this person was going to come out. He was summoned to the court. The case was presented to the court, to the judge. The judge asked him, this accusation made against you, do you plead guilty or not? How could you be with a strange woman in one house? What business you had to do with that? Imam Hanifa rahmatullah says, see, who this woman is. My father-in-law is here. So take this woman and let my father-in-law recognize whether it is his daughter or not. When he was taken, it was indeed the wife of Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. The enemies of Imam Hanifa, their plan had fell. This was the wisdom, the diplomacy that Allah tabaraka ta'ala has given. And this, how does wisdom comes into us? This is what Allah says, وَاتَّبِعَ سَبِيلَ مَنْ أَنَابَ إِلَيْهِ. It's not only the experience of life, it is also when you attach yourself to the Ahlullah, you attach yourself to those people that are attached to, are close to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Allah opened the brains, Allah opened the heart, and Allah gives such ocean of knowledge that is beyond the comprehension and beyond the normal capacity of the individual to earn it by himself. It is all divine from the side of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Inshallah, we'll continue to the another session. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.